You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people. But somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
And welcome to Safety Wars for Wednesday, March 11th, 2026. Happy birthday, Grandma Alice. She would have been 119 years old today. We've done a couple of programs on her and her life. I'll go back and look them up. It's with our guest, Imogen Salva. We discussed the plight of the Polish people during World War II. Those were who were sent to the Soviet Union. Anyway, what are we talking about tonight? We are going to be discussing RF Kennedy Jr. and some of the initiatives out there from the Health and Human Services, like cooking at home and things of that nature. I don't think, at least, no. I'm a big consumer of quote-unquote the media out there, whether it's social media, radio, anything like that. And I like to make sure everybody has all the information that they need to make decisions, to not be manipulated. We're really big on not being manipulated here. And we have excerpts of a speech that he made and a couple of other PSAs there, and some of the other background here, because it's kind of interesting that how a government official, and you can, regardless of what you think about Biden or any politician out there, or Trump, or Robert F. Kennedy Jr., or any of those other people, regardless of what you think about it, you're one, you can't control certain things. You can redress grievances of government, give protests and everything like that. But you can't, you can do that, but you can't really influence them. So what do we try to do? We try, very difficult to influence government. We want all the truth and all the knowledge. And maybe when it's fair, right, we're trying to be fair here, we try to go and cover their point of view, give you information, let you decide for yourself with this. As another radio talk show host said, a very famous one, I am equal time. Right, you hear one side of the story all the time. I try to give you the other side of the story with this. Long story short, so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be having some excerpts and everything else. Number one. Number two, the sleeper cells in the United States, because of the situation going over in Iran, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Essentially, again, we can't control what's going on, but what can we control? Well, we can control in our own lives. Every September, we dedicate to disaster preparedness. Looks like we're going to have to move up that timeline to right now, March 2026. It takes a long time to prepare for disaster. First thing you need to do is assess what you need to do, whatever that is. Second thing is you have to assess, right? Analyze what you need. Assess how you're going to get there. Make a goal. And third, implement it. We're to the point where if you haven't been doing that, if you haven't been preparing it, now you might have a problem. Because, again, they've been hyping sleeper cells since 9/11, going on 25 years here. And actually went before that, too. Just not as apparent. And we had an apparent terrorist attack over the weekend in New York City. We'll talk about that. And, what are you going to do? What are you going to prepare to do for that? What are you going to do that? We're going to be talking about that. So we're going to start our show right now. We have our regular intro. Towards the end of the program, we're going to have RF. We're going to talk about RFK. And now I'll put it up on the video, but we could not get the video of him giving these speeches or anything. So we had to go with audio, and we're going to add a photo to that on the video end. Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And we are back. Before we get to all those other things, we're going to do our usual. If we have labor, Department of Labor and EPA press releases, we're going to talk about those first, as usual. And then we'll get to the other stuff later on. Here we have Secretary Shavaz Raymer completes a 50-state America at Work listening tour in first year as Labor Secretary. This is a little bit controversial. You can say, well, what's so controversial about this kind of stuff, Jim? I don't understand. How could this be controversial? Well, allegedly, right, and there's an investigation going on, she's been having a little bit of fun out there. There's a lot of allegations out there that, let's just say there are pictures of her and her friends around a pool. Staying at resorts, arranging things where, it just happens. Her friends happen to be meeting her on tour and all this other stuff. I get it. Now, let's see it from her point of view. Just like I said, we try to give all the information out here. You're the Secretary of Labor. A lot of these people, Bomer, right, was one of the other ones, Secretary, I think she was Bomer. But they had to move on to military housing because of security issues. Could it be that that Dreamer's staying at certain nice hotels because of security issues? Maybe. Do you want our Secretary of Labor to be staying at a one-star hotel? Like I was put up with in one time where, you know, a big sign out from, we do not knowingly, right, and the check-in, they're behind bulletproof glass, and says, we do not knowingly, how can I say this? We do not knowingly rent rooms to and, right? We don't do that sort of stuff here. And it's like, okay, what kind of hotel is this? I go in, you know, no, we want them to stay in halfway decent hotels, maybe not five-star hotels, preferably not Trump hotels, because now you have the emoluments clause in the Constitution coming into play. But you want them to be staying in a halfway decent, secure hotel here. And again, since a lot of their schedules are public, you know, you have that added in there. I was in charge of security for some very high-end political candidates that you've heard of. And I can't say in charge of, but I took part in. There's a lot that goes into this here. And I do know we have some security consultants out here who listen to the show. Maybe one of you could contact me and I'll have you on the show. This is from her. When I became Labor Secretary, I promised to deliver on President Trump's mission to put American workers first and began by getting out of the Washington bubble, meeting workers where they are at. EPA had the same mission. Lee Zeldin did it faster than her, visiting all of his 50 states. Here. Whether it was carpenters, training facility in Colorado or oyster hatchery in Maryland, family-owned countertop manufacturer in Minnesota, or a fire academy in Oklahoma, the workers I met with feel supported by the president's efforts to put America first. The investments that President Trump has made in the workforce are paying off, and his historic working family tax cuts are delivering results for workers and employers across the country. I look forward to another 3 years of meeting with American workers and fighting to put them first in everything we do at the Department of Labor. The secretary stopped in Hawaii last week after 49th state meeting with workers from the Dole Plantation, the Culinary Institute of the Pacific, as well as a variety of other industries. Beginning at Mauna Loa High School, she joined the Culinary Institute as they served breakfast to students, showcasing their efforts to empower local businesses and farms. She later enjoyed hands-on participation in planting and harvesting pineapple at the 700-acre Dole Plantation while learning from employees with multiple decades of experience. And again, the president had at the goal for this, as the EPA meeting. And I tell you what, it's a good thing. A lot of these folks, they stay in Washington and they never get out. Go out and see, talk to the people out there. And again, with human organizational performance, what do you try to do? Who's the expert at safety in your workplace? Who's the expert at what goes on in your workplace? Is you. Not necessarily management, not necessarily anyone else. It's you. And this is along the lines of the same thing. Going out there, your government worker, Secretary of Labor, but she's still a government worker. No, go out there and see what the people are doing. Here, get their input with that. At a minimum, you're building a bridge so people maybe will get along with the government. So maybe we don't have all of this animosity towards each other or anything like that. And if you don't think the government has animosity towards you, certain government officials, not the whole government, just certain government officials, you're fooling yourself. U.S. Department of Labor recovers more than $1 million in back wages and damages for 24 warehouse workers denied minimum wage and overtime pay. The U.S. Department of Labor has reached a settlement with a Calexico-based freight and cargo service company after a federal investigation found that the employer denied minimum wage and overtime to 24 workers in violation of the Fair Labor Standards Act. The agreement follows investigation that found Expresso Forwarding Incorporated and its affiliate Agencia Aduanal Esquire Lucan employed customs brokerage warehouse workers who traveled from Mexico to work at the company's U.S. warehouse. I think we covered this before here when I first started doing it. The employers pay the workers in Mexican pesos at rates that equaled as little as $2 an hour in violation of the federal minimum wage. They were not paid overtime, time and a half. Right, so employers operating in the U.S. must understand that regardless of where they are headquartered, workers who perform work on the side on this side of the border must be paid in accordance with U.S. labor laws. When a company pays wages in Mexican pesos that fall well below the U.S. minimum wage, it creates an unfair advantage over law-abiding employers, right, and discourages U.S. workers from competing for those jobs. They're going to be paying that $1.08 million back wages to 24 employees over the next year. So, again, when do I get in? Have I gotten into this as far as what we do with safety? It's been with companies that send Canadian companies that send their workers across the border. And then they feel, well, we don't know all the rules. We don't know all your safety rules. Well, one of the rules is you don't get hurt at work. That's one of the rules. And they're like, well, you know, I'm like, you know, you're hauling hazardous waste in that truck, dude. Well, okay. You know that, you know, I actually, in my younger days when I was a lot better shape than what I am now, I actually had to caught a guy who fell off a truck, right? And he was starting to slip. You know, he fell about a foot, and I actually caught him. He was a smaller guy, and me and him climbed down a ladder together on this. And this is after you told him, don't go up on that truck, right? They were supervising loading of the truck for some reason. Right, so they felt it was good to stand on top of the truck, on top of the dump part of the truck that was covered in poly sheeting, and they were covered, and they were wearing latex nuke boots, wearing a poly-coated Tyvek suit with a respirator on. All right, I don't know, you know, you can't make this stuff up. And then they wondered why they were asleep. Don't do that. Let's get a ladder. We got a 10-foot, 12-foot ladder. You could accomplish the same thing. I'm afraid of using a ladder. I'm not doing that. And this is back in the day where, you know, whenever you gave someone a suggestion or try to work with people, they gave you the classic New Jersey salute, or what they call showing you the New Jersey state bird. U.S. Department of Labor awards $2 million to help Kentucky workers affected by mass layoffs. U.S. Department, well, let's see. Yesterday we covered a story where it took them 6 months to get money to laid off workers, right? Well, let's see what they're doing today. The U.S. Department of Labor today awarded $2 million to Kentucky Department of Workforce Development to support employment and training services for eligible individuals in 25 counties impacted by mass layoffs and plant closures. Between August 2025, March 2026, mass layoffs at Acabono Brake Corporation, Blue Oval, SK, Fritz Winter, North America, LP, Kentucky Cooperage, I guess they make barrels there, Cooperage, right? Beaufort Incorporated and Russellville Engineering Castings have affected 2,400 workers, given the significant number of mass layoffs and closures occurring at major manufacturing and advanced production facilities. The local labor market has a limited capacity to absorb those workers into similar jobs. So whether they go check out their website here on the right, press releases with that. Okay, they're getting $2 million, but, you know, this happened back last summer. We're going to mosey on over to, We're going to mosey on over to the EPA website. Let's see what they're doing on over there. And I'll remind everybody, we were a couple of days, several days ahead of everybody else here on a lot of this stuff. Now, the EPA, as we mentioned the other day, and I got some snickers, I got some snide remarks, I got all different kinds of comments. The EPA is doing better Right, here it is. Trump EPA releases strongest enforcement compliance results in years, where they are actually getting things off the national priorities list. The whole thing is, though, that a lot of those sites have been on the NPL list for a long time, for like 30, 40 years. And guess what? At a certain point, you know, you're done with the cleanup out there. And you get things off in the NPL list. So that's, can he take, can this administration take credit for it? No, well, a little bit. But no, this stuff has been cleaned up, most of this stuff, over decades. EPA threw cleanups at 9 Indiana Superfund sites this year. U.S. EPA will conduct comprehensive reviews, right, of cleanup work at 9 NPL lists, National Priority List Superfund sites across Indiana this year. We're looking at U.S. Smelter and Lead Refinery, Chicago, HIMCO Dump, and you can go on and on and on here with this. Five-year reviews, why this matters. Five-year reviews generally are required when hazardous substances remain on the site above levels that permit unlimited use and unrestricted exposure. The reviews provide an opportunity to evaluate the implementation and performance of a remedy to determine whether it remains protective of human health and the environment. EPA retains responsibility for determining the protectiveness of that remedy. So you have nine there. Nine Wisconsin jobs, projects, same exact thing except in Wisconsin. Here we go, another one. Eight in Michigan. None of these are jumping out on me as far as familiarity. 11 in Ohio. I mean, they release all these one day from one region, EPA Region 5. And 9 in Minnesota, 4 in Illinois. So there's a lot of stuff going on there. They're looking to get this stuff off the books. I hope they're not jumping the gun on any of this stuff. Again, I did not share the screen. I'm sorry, folks. Here we have it. So, right, 9 in Wisconsin, 9 in Indiana, 8 in Michigan, 11 in Ohio, 9 in Minnesota, 4 in Illinois. Right? A lot of stuff going on out there with that. Pro-worker AI, streaming fatalities and other fascinating new economic studies. It's from Planet Money. Economists are constantly churning out fascinating research, and as much as we try at Planet Money, this is from, this story was on NPR from March 10th. Author is Greg Rosalsky. Right, so periodically we like to do a little random interesting thing, right? Now, recently, Jack Dorsey, and this is a lot of articles here, we won't read it all, creating a world with pro-worker artificial intelligence. Recently, Jack Dorsey, the co-founder and CEO of Block, announced that he was laying off 4,000 workers, or about 40% of the workforce. He suggested a big reason for the layoffs was AI, and had many of the workers AI had made many workers redundant, right? And that was a surging stock price was the result of that. For what it's worth, analysts are skeptical that AI is the real reason Block is laying off so many workers. They suggest Block is downsizing because its executives made the mistake of overhiring. Right? So AI, right? In a new essay, a group of rock star economists from MIT offers a more hopeful vision for the future of human work. One is one in which humans collaborate with AI to get better existing jobs. AI creates new jobs, and human workers thrive in the age of AI. I'm going to say this much. And the article goes on and on and on. I could see AI eliminating a lot of jobs. I'm not going to lie to you folks there. Now, especially in the safety world, we're already seeing a lot of that. What's one of the essential things? When you want to look up safety information real quick and have some analysis on that, in the past, what we used to do was call up our buddy, call up a friend, call up a colleague, do hours worth of search on the internet things of that nature. Now, what do you do? Plug it into AI, and God willing, you're going to get the right answer, because I've found so many wrong answers in the safety field when using AI. So you have to know what the hell you're looking at. That's the whole thing with AI. It's very dangerous with that. Collaborate. Use AI responsibly. Collaborate with AI. Whenever I use AI, I used it today for something because I wanted to know all about a certain chemical, a certain class of chemicals that I had to know about here to give to consult on. So I did that and I looked it up and I verified it with three or four other sources that I knew about. Okay, everything makes sense. I applied my own scientific knowledge, my own experience and everything else, and came up with the right answer. You don't just plug something into AI and then say, oh, well, hey, AI said it, therefore it's right. You don't do shit like that. No, 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 no. You're going to embarrass yourself, and you're going to embarrass your company, and you're going to put people's health and safety at risk. You don't want to do that with that. So you need to know, and I can see companies out there say, we don't need no health and safety professional out there. All we need is name your AI thing. And guess what? Now you have a problem out there. Again, now one of the other things are applying AI to design work, right? I know people who've done, I saw an engineer do that last week. They applied AI to engineering work. They had some questions, ran some numbers on it. He verified what those numbers were, did not make decisions, but hey, got a ballpark idea on there. Here we have, where is this? Punjab, right? This is in Punjab. So this is all, worldwide we reach. We do have listeners in Punjab, by the way. A 21-year-old laborer from West Bengal died by cleaning a manhole behind the market committee office here on Tuesday night, due to negligence. Right, the worker identified as Shahidu Shahimim was lowered into a nearly 10-foot deep manhole around 9 p.m., but he failed to come out. After nearly 16 hours of efforts, his body was retrieved. Fellow laborers alleged he had been sent alone into the manhole by a supervisor and a junior engineer, despite the work of not being assigned to them. The administration has consulted four members, right, and there's going to be, right? So this stuff happens all over the world. Why do I mention this? From India. How many times in the United States have we had these situations happen? And we hear about, in other countries this is what they do, so therefore we're going to do it here. Happens a lot. A lot of companies, we just covered a whole bunch of stories with wages here, where a company was in Mexico, was here with the wages. No, not paying people the right wages. Less than minimum wage. Well, how many companies out there hire migrants or hire immigrants to come in and do dangerous work? Happens all the time. They bring their bad habits with them from there. And again, no, these people probably were no training on where they qualified to do the job or anything else. All that goes into it. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. This is from San Antonio. And I hate it when it does this. I pull up the story. OSHA is investigating a death at a concrete plant in San Antonio. Apparently a worker has been crushed there. And I don't know, I hate it because the website closed that on me, right? Locked up. Sorry, folks. Again, this is live radio. Court revives suit over water worker's death in flooded vault. This one's coming out of Illinois. An Illinois appellate court on Thursday, this last Thursday, revived the wrongful death lawsuit filed by the estate of a municipal water worker who drowned after being sent alone into an underground vault. Ruling claims are not barred by workers' compensation exclusivity at the pleading stage. In Hyden versus the Village of Westmont, the Illinois Appellate Court for the 3rd District reversed the lower court's dismissal of the case and remanded it for further proceedings. The case stems from the February 2023 death of Matthew Hyden, a 20-year-old employee of the Village of Westmont Water Department. We covered this story here. This is follow-up. According to the complaint, the village sent Mr. Hyden alone into a permit-required confined space to repair a leaking valve without required safety precautions or protective equipment. While Mr. Hyden was in the underground vault, a valve dislodged, trapping his arm as the vault filled with water. As I recalled, he was sent in to cut a pipe or a valve or something like that, and it dislodged, trapping his arm, flooding the confined space and drowning him. Right, no permit, lack of training. Again, 20-year-olds, new to the workforce. We're not going to invest in this kid. I hear it all the time. We're not going to invest in that kid. He's going to go somewhere once we train him for $5 more an hour. Failure, and we're not training our competitors. That's the other one I hear. Failure to de-energize the water main in the absence of a retrieval system such as a harness and line that wouldn't have helped this one. Best thing is, as always, is prevention. The workers' estate sued the village and others, alleging the municipality intentionally violated safety rules, knowingly sent the worker into a dangerous confined space. As I recall, he was left there by a supervisor. This happened, and that it was a complete, as we call, complete cluster, cluster there. As DuPage County Circuit Court dismissed the claims against the village. Now, let's scroll on down. The appellate court disagreed, finding that the estate plausibly alleged intentional conduct sufficient to invoke an acceptance of the workers' compensation exclusivity, which generally bars civil suits against employers for workplace injuries. The court also rejected the village's argument that it was immune under, again, that friggin' sovereign immunity strikes again. The court also rejected the village's argument that it was immune under the State's Tort Immunity Act, concluding the allegations concern the municipality's failure to comply with state laws rather than the failure to enforce them. Finally, the panel found the state adequately pleaded causation. The court emphasized that its ruling addressed only whether the complaint could proceed, not whether the state would ultimately prevail. The case was remanded. Okay, so basically, as I take it here, I'm not an attorney. I'm not playing one on Safety FM. The state said, well, we are not responsible for anything. Or the city in this case, or municipality. Not responsible. We got workers. This is what workers' comp is for. My question is this. If they were had they been held responsible for this, right? If we didn't have sovereign immunity, would they have acted differently? Because right now, and I always bring this up, whether it's 25 years since September 11th, 2001, even towards today, right? This is not going to, imagine what it is. If you're a safety professional out on a job in private industry, and someone says, you're like thinking, well, if I make this decision, I could get sued. Especially if you're the owner of the company, like a consultant. Can I go to jail? Can I do that? Guess what? You're going to be thinking a little bit differently than maybe a supervisor you don't hold accountable for anything, or if you're a state worker. Right? And they're like, training. And I'm not saying anyone had any ill intent here, but it was just negligence here. Morality, negligence. Okay, onward. We're coming up to 48 minutes on my clock here. How many minutes? That's not right. 32 minutes after the hour. Hundreds of New Mexico Right. I should have put on, I have a special shirt for this kind of stuff. I should have put this on. Hundreds of New Mexico locals asked to turn over home security in search for a missing retired Air Force General UFO expert. Over 600 New Mexico residents have been alerted by authorities to hand over their home security for footage as a bizarre disappearance of retired General William McNeil McCaslin, who vanished without a trace from his home on February 28th. The investigators have contacted more than 600 homeowners in the neighborhood, right, to request security camera footage. Maybe he was abducted. Maybe that's why they put this here. While none have resulted in confirming the sighting or led directly to the location, McCaslin's location, right? Investigators are continuing to follow up on every piece of information received. He left his phone behind, disappeared on foot. They've issued a silver alert calling, right? And calling a grave national security crisis on here with us. Yeah, because he's an Air Force general, right? With that. Aye, aye, aye. Here's another one. We talk, right? And I wanted to talk about this because this has come up with these protesters again. Here we have Meet the Americans withholding their federal income tax to protest against Trump. This is from TheGuardian.com, U.S. News. I'm not paying my federal income taxes this year, Rachel Cohen declared in a recent Instagram video that received 140,000 likes. The 31-year-old lawyer in Chicago plans to put the $8,800 she owes federal government in a high-yield savings account. Instead, she doesn't want to fund the wars in Iran, Gaza, and or immigration agents detaining her neighbors. Okay, now. And then it goes on. Tax resistance in the U.S. goes back to Boston Tea Party, blah, blah, blah. A little bit different. That was on a sales tax, not on a federal income tax, and there was no IRS. Now, let me comment on this. I caution everybody, right? What I'm going to tell you, obey the law. Number one, hands down, obey the law. Be a law-abiding citizen. If you do not agree with the income tax, pay the income tax, and work for change within the system. There are a whole bunch of bills in Congress over the year on the fair tax, abolish the income tax, all different things, all right? This is what happens. You're going to get somebody out there saying, yeah, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to pay the income tax. I'm not going to file. Maybe there's going to be people out there that take the Irwin Schiff route, say that the income tax is illegal, blah, 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 blah. And what happens, right? What's going to happen? Tell you what's going to happen. They're eventually going to come after you. Eventually, you will get caught. With these political people out there, with the whole, we're not going to pay income tax, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do... Well, those political folks out there, proponents of this, remember, you don't pay income tax, that goes against you. Let's say you get away with it. But guess what? Social Security, you're not going to get a payout. What else can't you have? You can't own a house, right? If we're taken to extreme. You can't own a car. You can't have a bank account. You can't have investments, on-the-book investments. You have to basically live your life with, as a off-the-grid with that. And guess what? There are consequences to that. People who do that, who live off the grid, who don't pay their income taxes and are tax protesters, which is what this person is, not evading. She's protesting, the protester, just tax protester here. Tax evasion is when you put down the wrong numbers and say, I don't own property taxes. Tax evasion is, this is like a tax protest type of thing. Guess what? She will have herself a problem. I've known 7 people who have done that when I was involved in politics. I stayed the hell away from them because eventually it was not good results with them. It was horrible results. They're psychopathic. Stay the hell away from them. Here. Now, we're at 37 minutes. Let's talk about this RFK thing here. Hold on. So, starting last week, I was hearing about this here. Right? With this, right? Where they have press releases from, now this is from the New York Times, under pressure from HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, us and some American medical schools have agreed to rework their curriculums to teach more about nutrition, according to federal officials. So we talked about this already, where we have two different things. We talked about hepatitis B vaccinations. Now, on one side, hey, we're going to respond to an illness, right? That's traditional medicine, what a traditional medicine has done. On the other end is we're going to promote the body and healthy lifestyles so we don't have these issues. And it seems like neither side could really meet here. But apparently Robert F. Kennedy is trying to do this, saying, look, we have to set the stage in your body to live healthy and to prevent illness. And remember, that changes all the time. And rather than going out and treating the illness with that, I'm going to say this much. I've had some health challenges recently, and thank Jesus that we had adequate medical care here, because guess what? I needed it. If I would have went this route, where after ex post facto, after I have the health thing, now I'm going to live healthy, guess what? Good chance I wouldn't be here broadcasting to you, and I'm sure some of my opponents would be happy about that. Right? Mr. Kennedy, who has made, and this is from the NY Times, Mr. Kennedy, who has made healthy eating a centerpiece of his campaign to address what he calls an epidemic of chronic illness, spent months pressuring medical schools to adopt his ideas, threatening funding cuts. He's expected to announce this week that many schools are embracing his recommendation. This is last week. All right. He set up a website, government website, realfood.com. America is the greatest country on earth, and the sickest. Highly processed food has hallowed our health, driving obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and early death. The truth is simple. Real food restores health. That's their point of view. Right, restores health, real food. There's an argument to be made for that. I'm not a doctor. I'm not playing one on the radio here. Now, what should I say? Right? I'm not playing one on the radio here with that. What I'm saying is, okay, there's an argument, eating healthy and everything else, you're going to be healthy. I got it. You're going to feel better, look better, act healthier here. Right, so 50% of Americans have pre-diabetes or diabetes. 75% of adults report having at least one chronic condition. 90% of healthcare spending goes to treating chronic divisions, chronic things. They reworked the food pyramid. I'm just scrolling through this. And what they're trying to do is this. Eat real food. Concentrate on vegetables and fruits, protein, dairy, and healthy fats. And keep, it's like they inverted. Worry about the whole grains in the bottom. When you see the history of the food, traditional food pyramid we've been force-fed over the last 50 or 60 years, a lot of people claim that there's a problem with it. There was lobbying. Now, what we're going to do is, I support some of this. I'm not going to lie to you folks here. I'm not, I respect you too much in the lie. I get it. Eating healthy, but let's not forget, once you get one of these illnesses, you better go and seek medical care and get medical care here, right? This is to prevent, not to... And he's been getting a lot of bad press on this. And like I said at the beginning of the program, I want everybody to have all the information out there. And that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to go to a brief commercial break and here, and we will come back and have the audio here on the podcast portion of this. So, and I did not even take A. I did not even take a commercial break here.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at SafetyWars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution.
Things that the food industry says is that the ultra-processed food is cheap. It's not cheap. It just appears cheap. Right now, 10% of SNAP dollars goes to sodas, to sugar drinks, or the worst way to ingest sugar. It absolutely destroys your metabolic system. And so we're giving up front hundreds of millions of dollars a year to pay kids to buy sodas, which is giving them diabetes. And of the food stamp kids, 78% of them end up on Medicaid. And we're paying for their diabetes treatments. It appears cheap at the beginning. But over the long term, it's much more expensive. What we want to do is get people good food, high-quality food. We need to make sure it's affordable. We're very confident that affordable, good food is within the reach of every American family. It's much cheaper to cook your own food, to get fresh food and cook it, but people don't cook anymore. They're too busy and, you know. And a lot of people have forgotten how to cook, but cooking is important because it's a very important ritual for bringing families together. And it's something the whole family can participate in. It's a ritual that's a daily ritual that brings people together. And so one of the things that we're doing in this administration is we're going to have a campaign to encourage people to start cooking again. And we're going to help the schools, you know, figure out how to do that as well, because you can get good food. The money can stay the same, and you can give good food to your children. You just have to be smart about it. Thank you, Brooke. And thank you all for being here. And I just wanted to say it's probably the best part of having this job is getting to work with Brooke. We talk almost every day, and in my view, she's the best agricultural secretary we've ever had in this country. She's completely focused on getting good, healthy food, increasing the health, ending the chronic disease epidemic in our kids, and at the same time, benefiting America's farmers and ranchers and producers. When we came into office the same day last February, about 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks and a year ago, we have to co-sign the dietary guidelines, and we were given the new dietary guidelines that had been worked on for about 4 years by the Biden administration. They were 453 pages long. It was mainly indecipherable and incomprehensible and unusable. And it was written by lobbyists, as had been the dietary guidelines for the past 50 years. And it reflected the mercantile impulses that had put Fruit Loops at the top of the food pyramid, which isn't even a food. It's just poison. And for 50 years, the government had been lying to us. They've been lying about saturated fats, about sugars, about refined carbohydrates, about ultra-processed foods. And particularly, they were focused on eliminating proteins and citing a bunch of science that was so badly flawed. It said that protein was associated with greater heart attacks, which there's no legitimate scientific study that's ever shown that. And we now know it was all fraudulent, and it was dogma, and it was put in place to benefit the ultra-processed food industry and take power, incidentally, away from farmers, because The ultra-processed food industry is dependent on a tiny, tiny fraction of commodity crops. Very little of that money goes to farmers, and you concentrate the power and you concentrate the economic benefit and you take it away from farmers. And so everybody that really is important to this country was being hurt by them. And it was just wrong. And so we brought together the best nutritionists in America. We said, we're going to do real science-based dietary guidelines. And I want to thank Callie Means for his leadership in assembling this extraordinary retinue of world-class nutritionists, including Mark Hyman, but from the best universities in our country. And we thought it would take about a month. We kept telling people, yeah, it's just about a month away. It took 11 months. There's every word in those dietary guidelines, every recommendation that was bloodshed over, because people were fighting that it was regulatory malpractice that we did not have the clear scientific answers to a lot of the questions we needed. There were big science gaps, which there shouldn't have been. We are now working overtime at NIH and FDA to fill those gaps so that we'll have better and better answers every year. But the new guidelines came out, but Brooke did not want to rest on her laurels. And she has the question now, how do we drive this into the American appetite structure and change the food culture in this country radically? And she recognized that she had this extraordinary power at her disposal, which was the food supplement program, the subsidy program, which she spends about $100 billion a year, $405 million a day on SNAP, on WIC, on Head Start, on the Indian Health Service, and on school lunches and all these other programs, and that we could use those as a device to drive these vast, monumental changes in our dietary culture in this country. And she immediately wrote letters to all the governors saying, we want you to file for SNAP waivers. I want to thank Governor Mark Gordon of Wyoming, who's the 22nd now to do that. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have all 50. This is not a Republican issue. There's no such thing as Republican children or Democratic children. These are our kids, and this is our primary responsibility. And it seems... it seems just common sense that they should eat good food. Brooke, from the beginning, was very, very focused on how do you make these foods affordable? Because the consensus was, well, ultra-processed foods and soda drinks are cheap. And that's a lot of what the Democrats were saying. Oh, you're taking food away from poor people. But the president and Brooke, and everybody in the administration, is laser focused on making sure that these foods are accessible and that they're affordable by every American. I just want to tell you a quick anecdote, because our colleague Pete Hegseth is also taking those dietary guidelines and driving them into military meals, thank God. We're doing it at the VA. Pete Hegseth has hired a dietitian, a television chef named Robert Irvine. And I spent the day with him the other day. And Robert Irvine is changing the meals on all the military bases in this country to make them real food, fresh food, locally sourced, whole food. And he's now already in 5 bases. By the end of this month, he'll be in 20. The experience on these bases has been extraordinary. Before he came in, a third of the soldiers were eating at the cafeteria because the food was so appalling. It was unspeakable, and it was poisoning them. They were going instead of spending their meager paychecks on fast food and the local fast food joints. And fast food is not cheap, by the way. A Big Mac meal costs $12 to $14. You can get really good food for that. And now that he's changed it, there's lines around the block for our soldiers to get in there and get these great meals. And they've stopped eating the local fast food. And the military has allocated $18.50 per soldier per day for three meals. He's now feeding them all the highest quality food that you can get for $10 a day. And what Robert Irvine said is, you don't need more money to eat good food. You just need to buy smarter and to be smarter about it. He pointed out to me that a frozen salmon fillet costs $9 and a fresh salmon fillet costs $6. And when you buy it, smart, you can, every American can feed themselves cheaper than fast food. One of the challenges that we're facing and that we're working on all kinds of innovative devices to solve is that Americans have forgotten how to cook. Well, the convenience of fast food is one of the things that attracts them. And many of them don't have the cutlery. They don't have the pots and pans. They don't have the cutting boards. And they don't know how to shop. And one of the things that we're talking about now at HHS is to use the Commission Corps or other groups within our agency to go out and actually teach people to cook. And, you know, President Trump has talked about the spiritual malaise in our country. That spiritual malaise comes from the breakdown of families. It comes from the fragmentation, the atomization, the isolation, particularly in our children, that they don't feel connections anymore. They spend 5.5 hours a day on social media. And they're not talking to human beings anymore. And one of the things, you know, cooking is, and eating together as a family is a sacred ritual. And it's something that brings families together for an hour or 2 hours a day, where they talk, where they interact, where they work together on an act of creation. And then they eat together in this wonderful ritual that brings families together and reconnects them to each other. And we're working with the states also to get bell-to-bell legislation in all the states, get kids off their cell phone in schools, and the parents tell us that it has this miraculous impact that kids don't use the cell phones when they drive, and they come home and they eat dinner and they talk to each other. I've gone into these school cafeterias with 600 kids in them where they're all talking to each other. They're not looking at their laps at their cell phones. And part of what we're trying to do is to understand that this is a spiritual warfare that we're fighting. And that the way to end it, that the other side on this wants to isolate us, wants to keep us apart, because then we're vulnerable. And we need to figure out ways to bring us all back together. And food is the way to do that. It is opening the door to bring all Americans back together, to give them good food to eat, and reteach them that ritual of cooking. So the food is affordable. It's cheaper to cook at home than it is to buy fast food. And Brooke is, as I said, constantly devising new ways of making sure that everybody in this country has access to these meals. These new stocking standards are going to go a long way to do that. There's 250,000 retailers who take food stamps in this country, 250,000. And Brooke, this new stocking standard is going to require them all to have a minimal amount on their shelves of good food, of real food. Most of them are going to have to double the bodegas and the gas stations. The people who take fast food or take food stamps are now going to have to double the amount of real food that they have in their stores. And that's going to change everything. And so I want to thank Brooke. I want to thank Mark Gordon. I want to thank Ben Carson for his leadership. He's the leader of this initiative within USDA. And I'm bad there. Thank you. And Isaac Gallagher. Well, thank you very much. And I wanna now introduce the man who is it Ben first? Ben who's leading this initiative. Come on up.
Every day on the job, there's a moment, Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't, where everything hangs in the balance. A loose bolt, a missed clip, a bad assumption, or maybe the opposite, a choice made right. The right PPE, the right lockout, the right conversation at just the right time. Some folks call that luck. Here on Safety Wars, we call it something else. The kiss of safety. That quiet moment where a safe choice gives you another sunrise, another paycheck, another night with the people you love. And the truth? No policy, no regulation, no binder full of procedures means a thing. Unless you live it. Unless your team lives it. Unless safety isn't a chore, it's a culture. A war we fight every day, one small decision at a time. So today, we're talking about that kiss, the one you don't want to miss. The moment safety saves your life before you even knew it needed to. Let's break down the stories, the lessons, and the hard-won wins that make the difference. This is Safety Wars, and the war's still on.
You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people, but somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.